Folks, I hope you'll just go with me. Stand with me tonight. Go to the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. People always, when I get ready to preach, they say, "Are you ready?" I say, "We'll know in a little while." This is one of those cases. We'll know in a little while.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Cody, you did this, didn't you, the other night? It turned out all right. Amen. So you're praying for me, right? Yeah, you appreciate that. I got some, they're good sermons, all of them. Like that guy, he stood up and he told the people, he said, "Brethren," he said, "I got with me here tonight." He said, "I got a $50 sermon." And he said, "I got with him here tonight." He said, "I got a $500 sermon." And he said, "I got here tonight with me, I got a $5,000 sermon." And he said, "After the offering, you're going to hear which one." Well, the offering's already gone. I don't know what it was. You're just going to hear what we got. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. I just want to preach tonight on the simple subject of separation. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. God is in the separating business. Going all the way back to the beginning of the creation, the Bible says God divided the light from the darkness, didn't he? God started way back there dividing some things. He set a division between the light and the darkness. And they've never crossed. They've never crossed. Dark and light just do not mix. Every time the light will conquer the darkness. Anytime, I don't care if it's as black as 1,000 midnights, you can light just one candle or strike a match, and the light will defeat the darkness. God made it so. God put power and strength and conquering ability in light. And God separated darkness and light. He made a difference. And then after the fall in the garden of Adam and Eve. And by the way, God created male and female. He created Adam and Eve. Didn't he? Not Adam and Steve. And he separated them. He made a man to be a man. He made a woman to be a woman. And he made a division. Amen. He did. He made a separation. Amen. You know, a man can never be a woman. We're wired different. If you think you can think like one, you got another thought coming. If you think like that, you just need to have an argument with one and see how that comes out. You'll get your logic all lined up, and you'll get ready to drive in the final nail that will win the argument, and she'll just go off to another subject. And it's like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. It's up here, folks. The wiring's different. It just don't work. But God separated, made a difference between the male and the female. And so God began a process of separation. And then after the fall in the garden and Adam and Eve sinned, God named two things. He said there will be the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And he said they will be at enmity or at war one with the other. And that's been so ever since Adam and Eve. There has been this war going on between the righteous seed and the unrighteous seed. There is a separation. You read through the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. There was Seth, and Seth was the righteous seed. And there was the seed of Cain, and that was the unrighteous seed. You followed their descendants. The descendants of Seth were righteous. The descendants of Cain were unrighteous. It was a separation. It's all through the Bible. There's a separation. Amen. And so it is today that God so designed that there was going to be a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous, and between his seed and unseed. Now, I do understand that all of us are the creation of God. I know that. Every human being. But not every human being is separated unto God. Amen. That's a decision that each one of us has to make personally, whether or not we are going to serve God. Amen. So God made a separation. That's what Abraham did that set him apart. The Lord called Abram and he said, come out from among them. He said to separate. Everybody say separate. He said, separate yourself. And he did. He separated himself. He came out. He left his what was familiar. He left his family. He left his homeland. He left all those things that were familiar to him. And by faith, he followed after God. It was a separation. And then God established the seed of Abraham. And from that came the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel was a separated nation. The Lord wrote to Israel and he said, come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So God separated Israel out of the world and he set it apart as a special nation. And he placed special grace upon Israel and he gave special blessings to Israel and he gave the word of God to Israel. And he had a relationship with those people and they had a knowledge of God and a relationship with God that no other nation had. And so God called to separation. Amen. And then it is so in the New Testament church. God has called the New Testament church to separation. Amen. We are in the world, the Bible said, but we are not of the world. When you get the Holy Ghost, you have a different spirit than the spirit that's in the world. You don't same spirit anymore. And so it calls us to separation. There's a reason that the Holy Ghost is called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The word holy means separate or separated. Amen. When you get the Holy Spirit, you have a separated spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not like a spirit. There's three kinds of spirits. There's demonic spirits. There are human spirits. And there's the Spirit of God. And so there's those spirits. We get the Holy Spirit. We're separated unto God. We are separated tonight. Well, that's why we're different. Amen. And you're supposed to be. Oh, that the world knew this message and that the church would stand up for this message. I'm so sorry that you go. So many churches let go of the message of separation. When I was growing up as a young man, as a boy, it was not uncommon to hear this message in denominational churches. They preached it in Methodist. They preached it in Baptist churches. They preached it in Presbyterian churches. They preached it in Catholic churches. They preached it in just about any Christian church. Separation from the world. Now, they didn't always live it, but they preached it. Somebody said recently, I don't know who it was, but I agree with the man. He said, we would not have a problem with abortion if we would have held the line at fornication. But we gave up preaching that because it became so rampant, popular, and the old phrase, everybody's doing it, and so the church caved. But I'm telling you today, we still need to be separated from the world. Yeah. Amen. Is that all right? The Bible gives all kinds of separations and distinctions. Way back in the Bible, there was a separation in what men wore and what women wore. Right. As a matter of fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said that if a man wears a woman's apparel or a woman wears a man's apparel, he said, it's an abomination to me. God said, it makes me sick. I'd say that's separation. And then I've heard people say, well, that's under the law. It may be, but the separation's still there. If it made God sick in the Old Testament, it's going to make God sick in the New Testament. If God said it's an abomination in the Old Testament, it's going to be an abomination in the New Testament. God doesn't change something that is abominable to Him. Amen. Well, you know, just our culture's changed. Well, culture may change, but the Word of God doesn't. If it was an abomination in the Old Testament, it's an abomination in the New Testament. Amen. So, the Bible says three things about clothes. One is sex distinction. You ought to be able to tell by looking whether it's a him or a her.
That's right.
There shouldn't be any shims. A shim is when you just don't know. I've seen a few shims in my life. It ought to be as easy going to the bathroom. When you walk up to the bathroom door and it's got a little symbol on there, that's got a little skirt on there, what does that say? Huh? It can be in any language you want to write it in, but if it's got a little stick, got a skirt on it, that means that's a lady's bathroom. And if you walk up to the door and it's got a little figure there and he's got breeches on or whatever you want to call them, pants or whatever, I'm country. Amen. And so, and that tells you just right away, you don't have, whatever the language is, it's or men or whatever, but that just tells you that's a men's restroom. Yeah. Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
That's not complicated, is it?
No.
God wants it to be that simple. He wants people to look at you and know right away what you are.
Yeah.
He wants to be able, that people can look at you and say, oh, what a beautiful Pentecostal lady. Or what a handsome Pentecostal man. Instead of scratching their head and saying, what in the world is this? The Bible said that the devil is the author of confusion. He makes things confusing. God makes it simple and plain. And so sex distinction is one thing. When you get ready to dress, you, if you're a man, you need to dress like a man.
Yeah.
And make sure you got a belt that'll hold your britches up. We got some weird fads, I'll tell you. I hope that one's passing quickly. Amen. And if you're a woman, dress like a woman so people be able to see. So they'll know what you are. The Bible declares that. The second thing it declares about separation in our dress is modesty. Now this fits for men or women. Men need to dress modestly just like women do. Amen. You need to cover up your body. That's right. Is that okay? It's biblical whether it's okay or not. Modesty. Amen. Amen. And so modesty is we cover up the pertinent parts. Things are long enough and high enough to cover what it needs to cover. That's modesty. Amen. It's not so tight that it looks like you don't have anything on. Leaves nothing to the imagination. That's not modest. Amen. You need to dress so that you, when you dress, you are advertising Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. That's right. Amen. You represent, the Bible said we are ambassadors of Christ. So everywhere you go, you represent Jesus Christ. So you need to look, you represent Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to be modest in our dress. And if that's not clear enough, come talk to me after service and we'll get plain. Amen. If you got any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Amen. And in the spirit of kindness and help. And the third thing the Bible says about clothing is using common sense whenever you're buying clothes. Don't pay too much. Amen. Now I understand that there's difference in certain qualities of clothes. I was so happy one time, brother. I found on the clearance rack, I found a pair of breeches for $2. I was so excited. I'm a real bargain hunter. I was so excited about my $2 breeches. But man, I took them home, put them on, started wearing, took them off that night. My legs were black. They were black. I mean, if I sweated, man, they got all over me. Amen. Next time I wore them, they split. And that was the end of that. So that wasn't a very good bargain, was it? Two wearings for $2. Hey, that's not too good. Amen. Besides that, they colored you after you wore them a little while, and you looked like you still had them on when you took them off. That wasn't a good deal. So even though it was a bargain, it really wasn't a bargain. So I'm not saying tonight that you have to just buy cheap stuff. But you know, if you shop at Walmart and carry your stuff around in a Neiman Marcus bag, you got a problem. That's false advertising. If you're paying the Walmart price, but you want people to think that you have a Neiman Marcus budget, then that's where the problem is, you see. In other words, if you're one of those people that always has to talk about how much you paid for something, just to impress people with how much you paid, you see, that's the Bible talks about that. That we don't need to make a big separation about how much money we spend for things. Why don't you just buy something good and give the rest of it to missions? Now there's a good idea. Instead of spending $5,000 for a suit, why don't you go to K&G and you can buy two for about $100 and then you can give the rest to missions. How'd that be? Well, then you don't get to brag about how much you spent. You see, but the Bible does. I'm talking about separation tonight. Separation. We need to come out from among them and be separate. Isn't that right? And we do that by the way we dress. Amen. And let me just touch on the fact that God, in the Scripture, promoted that women should have long hair and that men should have short hair. Now that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory and that it should be uncut. So how long is long? Uncut. That's simple enough, isn't it? As long as you keep scissors out of it, you're fine. That's it. Uncut. And then a man, the Bible said, if he has long hair, it's a shame to him. Amen. And so there's a distinction, isn't there? Now, I know this is different than what you might hear somewhere else, but I'm talking Bible here tonight. I'm talking to the church here tonight. Amen. I'm talking about separation. I know that there's a lot of churches that don't preach this anymore, but it's still in the Bible. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that we're called to be separate people. Amen. Our conversation's different than the world. Amen. You can't tell dirty jokes or laugh at them. You know what I think is sad? When people can't blush anymore. I think it's a good thing that there's still a few people in the world that can hear something that's so vile and off color, and it actually makes them blush because they're ashamed that they heard such a thing. They still have enough modesty that it affects them. That's a good thing. Let's don't get so jaded and so callous and so accustomed to the world that nothing bothers us anymore. Amen. And you know, profanity used to be something people used as a shock value. I mean, they'd say a cuss word and everybody would be shocked. Now it's so common. There's no shock to that. It just is dirty. Amen. Get you a vocabulary so you can express yourself without all that stuff. Amen. And so we don't talk like the world. Is that okay? We have our own vocabulary. Praise the Lord. We have our own vernacular. We use right words and clean words and words that have meaning to them. It's all right. We don't talk like the world. We're separated. We're not like that anymore. Amen. We've cleaned up our language. Praise the Lord. And I'm happy that the Lord cleaned up my tongue when He gave me the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to think like that. I don't want those thoughts in my head. Amen. We act different than the world. Yes, we do. We are children of God. We represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Amen. That's why we have to be separate, folks. We can't be like the world. Amen. We cannot. No matter what they may think, we just can't be like the world. Amen. Now, Christians are supposed to love everybody, aren't we? We're supposed to love everybody. Amen. Now, this is what people don't understand. If you've been keeping up with this, the corporation Chick-fil-A got in a whole lot of trouble recently because one of their officers, the family that owns Chick-fil-A, made a statement that Chick-fil-A believes in traditional marriage and does not support gay and lesbian marriages. And they just asked him about it, and so he just said, yes, that's what we believe. And man, it went viral. All of these people, politicians jumped on that and started talking about how hateful they were. What's hateful about having a belief? It's not hateful to have a belief. They didn't say we hate homosexuals. They didn't say we hate gays and lesbians. They didn't say that. They just said we don't agree with their lifestyle. We don't agree with that marriage. We don't agree with that. Is that okay? Is this still America where you can have an opinion that's different opinion? I hope so. But you see, it's not about hating people. I don't hate anybody. Nobody. I don't. They're not like. They can be whatever they want to be, but I'm not going to hate them for it. But I don't have to agree with them. Is that okay? We don't have to agree with folks. I might not agree with some of you. Don't mean I hate you. You have the right to be wrong if you want to. Amen. We don't hate people. But you see, that's the world right now. If you don't agree with them, you hate them. If you do not approve of what they do and what they say and how they live, it's because you're so full of hate. No, we don't hate people. We love people. They're welcome. They can come to church. Amen. Don't want them singing in the choir because we have a standard. Amen. Don't want Sundays, not because I hate them, but because we have a standard. We have a biblical stand. Now, if this gets out on tape, Brother Jared, we may be in trouble. Amen. They may come in and try to shut us down, give us a big fine, arrest me for a hate crime. But you hear me and hear me well, I don't hate anybody. I have friends' lifestyle. I know family members that have that lifestyle. And I love them just like I love the rest of my family. And I'll talk with them and I'll fellowship with them, but I don't agree with them. And they know I don't approve, but they also know I love them. So don't paint us with this brush of hate just because we don't advocate a certain lifestyle because we believe in separation. Now that said, let me go a little step further. We don't believe in having sex before marriage, even if it's male and female. We don't believe in living together without being married. I'm getting plain here, but we live in a plain world. The Bible has a word for that. It's called fornication. And we don't believe in that. Amen. We believe that when a man and a woman come to the altar both be virgins. The man and the woman. We don't believe in a double standard. We don't believe that the man ought to have the morals of an alley cat and expect to have a virgin bride. A man can control himself. Let me say that again. I said a real man can control himself. Don't tell me you're so macho that you can't control yourself. That's a weakness, sir. That's not strength. Strength is having enough back to do what's right. And if you get yourself, young people, in a situation where somebody says, if you don't do a certain thing, you don't love me, you get out of that relationship right then. If you have to purchase somebody's love with sin, you don't need in that relationship. You don't want to be in that relationship. If you have to lay down your morality to please somebody else, that's not the person for you. You need to say bye now. Amen. I'm talking about separation tonight. The world's different than the church. It is very different. And it's becoming more marked every day. Amen. The church listens to a different kind of music than the world listens to. Amen. And we still believe that too, don't we? Amen. We still do. It's all right, Brother Neil, to listen to Christian music. You got more choice to listen to today than ever in history. Amen. Some of that I'm not so sure about, but I guess it's better than the alternative. I like to hear something that I can understand. The words. If it's Christian. Now, if it's worldly, I really don't want to understand the words. Amen. And so we do listen to a different kind of music. We sing different kinds of songs. We sing for a different reason. Music has different inspirations. There is some music that is simply satanic. There is some music that is simply human. And there is some music that is godly. And so, of course, demonic music, you don't need to be listening to. It's a spirit that'll get a hold of you. Amen. It'll influence you. And then human music is, there's some good things. It's not necessarily all, amen. And there's love songs. Some of them are, they're not necessarily going to send you to hell if you listen to some love songs. But you just be real careful about what you get into. Amen. Because it'll move you. And you got to be careful you're moving. And then, of course, godly inspiration. It edifies your spiritual being. It draws you close to God. Yes, it does. It draws you close to God. There was a young man that was in the church where we pastored, and he listened to some real hard stuff before he came to the Lord, and he still had it after he came to the Lord. He didn't listen to it. He just didn't get rid of it. And he heard somebody come. We had an evangelist come, and he preached, and he mentioned some of these things, backward masking and all these different things, lyrics from songs, and how the Spirit influences some of that. And he didn't really buy into it, but he thought, well, I'll just get rid of it anyway. So he went out, and he took all of those old albums. This is, you know, in the days of LPs. This is before CDs and even cassettes. And so he took those old LPs and he got a fire going and he threw them in. And this man's not given to spectacular things. He's very, 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 very stable. And he said, Brother Grissom, he said, I was so shocked. He said, because I literally saw spirits coming up out of that fire. He said, you could have knocked me over with a feather in what I saw. He said, I would never have believed it if I had not seen it with my own eyes. I'm telling you that there's music in the world that has a spirit in it. There's a reason that you get into a dark room and close the door and get to crank it up so loud that even with headphones, the floor is throbbing. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that it makes you want to do things you normally wouldn't do. There's a reason that you want to light incense and smoke things that you should not be smoking and take things you shouldn't be taking. There's a reason. It all goes with that music. It's all a part of that scene. Shake your head like this right here. Pastor, you are telling me the truth. Now, not everybody that listens to it's going to do that, but if you listen to it long enough, it's going to influence you that direction. Amen. Well, what about good old C&W, beer drinking music, yeah? Now, surely that's all right. Amen. Amen. Talking about my D-O-V-I-O-R-C-E came final today. And all the sad, sad song. Amen. Makes you want to go nurse some suds somewhere. Amen. That doesn't exactly build your spirit, folks. You want something that'll encourage you. Amen. Something that'll make you feel like shouting. Praise the Lord. Something that'll overwhelm your spirit and make you fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. So, yeah, our music's different than the world. Our entertainment's different than the world. Amen. Our entertainment's different than the world. I hope this is still okay. Amen. Television is not for Christians. There's nothing wrong with a television. It's the programming's the problem. You just can't find any good stuff. I remember, and I told this story, but I'm going to tell it again, of a young man that came into his mom. He said, I want to go to the movies with my friend, and she told him the name of the movie, and she knew a little about it. She said, isn't that a PG? You know, they rate them. That means profanity guaranteed. That's what that means. And he said, yeah, Mom, but this, you know, don't have much in it. It's pretty clean. And she's making supper, and she's fixing a salad. So she reached down in the trash and got some trash and threw it in the salad and started mixing it in. And he said, what are you doing? She said, oh, a little trash don't hurt. Just a little trash. Right? It's a little bit. Well, or nothing. He got the message. We're separate, folks. We're separate. Amen. I know I've had people make this argument. They say, well, you know, you see it every day in the world. That's true, but I don't have to see it in my home. That's the difference. I do have to put up with things. When I go to Walmart, I wish that I had blinders. Some of the things you see, you think, Lord, have mercy. Woo! And summer's bad. I try to stay away from that place. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to start preaching against Walmart and separation. Because of what you got to put up when you go there. I feel sorry for you folks working there. What y'all got to see and put up with. Good grief. Amen. People have gone insane about what they wear and don't wear. So that's separation. But entertainment, you got to be careful. Now I know we need some recreation and we need some fun and that's all part of the balance of life, and we try to provide that around here. Amen. We try to keep everybody so busy you don't have time to get in trouble. Amen. We keep a pretty frantic pace, don't we? Amen. And if you get involved, and by the way, you want to be saved, stay safe, just get involved. Amen. Every now and then somebody says, well, I didn't know that. Well, you know, come to church. We announce it. We put it on the screen. We got it out in the foyer. What else can we do? Amen. You get involved. You get involved. It's easy to live for God. You stay so occupied doing right things and godly things and good things. Amen. It's easy for God. It is. Amen. I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about separation. So we separate from the world. We don't to do the things. We don't go places that they go. And we don't think. We think differently than the world thinks. And that's okay. The Bible said that we have the mind of Christ. Can you imagine Jesus Christ thinking like some of your friends think? Come on. Hello, is that all right? I mean, I'm just trying to make a point here. So if we're Christians, don't you think we ought to think like Jesus thinks instead of like they think? Amen. I particularly want to address young people here for just a moment, because you're going to school. Don't believe everything they tell you. If what they tell you conflicts with what I tell you, they're wrong and I'm right. No, seriously. But you've got the Spirit of Truth. You have the Spirit of Truth. You have the Holy Ghost. And when you hear something, it doesn't matter who says it, even if it's me, the Spirit of Truth will bear witness with your spirit. And it'll tell you what's right and wrong. And so when somebody says something, even if it's one of your teachers, and respect them and honor them. And I'm not saying be rebellious. If you do, you're of a wrong spirit. And that's not right. You respect your teachers. Amen. You respect authority. Amen. But whenever they say something, you don't have to stand up and make a big scene. But you just say, okay, that's what you want on the test. I'll put that on the test, but that doesn't mean I believe it. You know, if I'm taking a course and you're telling me that we descended from apes, if that's what you want me to say on the test, amen, you're not making any monkey out of me, but if I would put it on there, if that's what you want me to do, but I don't believe it, not for 1 minute. Amen. Because we don't think like the world thinks. Amen. My daughter almost has a PhD, post-hole digger. She's kind of slow. It's taking her all these years to get to be a post-hole digger. Amen. But she almost has, and I'm telling you what, she's had to put up with a bunch of garbage to get there. She's had to go wade through a whole bunch of baloney to get an education. Amen. And you will too. There are certain things, and this is just the world system, that we have to somewhat cooperate with to some degree. And so you may have to go through some things to get your degree, but you don't have to buy into it. You don't have to believe it. Because we don't think the same. We don't think the same. Amen. So we are called to separation. The Lord has called us out. And He said, be ye separate. And so we're here. The Bible said we are like lights. We are the light of the world. You're called to be different. You have a different spirit than the world has. Yes, you do. Wherever you go, people, regardless of where you are, we need to have a good attitude. Amen. I've never understood this, but I've observed some people. They do real good with Christians, but they'll go to a restaurant and they'll be rude to people. And I think, what is wrong? You're a Christian. You can't be rude to these people. Because they're serving your food doesn't give you any right to treat them bad. You're a Christian. When you go to a restaurant, you treat people good. Amen. You show them the love of... Amen. You know what? I've eaten some things I didn't really like. I've sent a few things back, but I did it with a really good spirit. That's right. Wasn't their fault. They didn't cook it. They just brought it out there. And by the way, you send it back, you know what's going to happen before you get it back. It might come back with some stuff you really didn't order. Hey, I'm just talking about being a Christian here tonight. Is that okay? Amen. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to treat people right everywhere we go. Now, I know I've blown it a few times, and I feel really bad about it. I do. I've had to apologize to some people before because I did lose it, and I said some things, unkind things. And I'm sorry that I did that. But I have repented, and I still feel bad about it, but I can't change it. But you know, you gotta maintain and strive really hard. Even when people don't treat you right, you gotta treat them right. You gotta take the high road. We can't come down to other people's level. We're on the high road, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
We're Christians. We're separated. Amen. And we gotta treat people right. You gotta be a good example because we're witnesses for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do. We don't act like we do and dress like we do and talk like we do and go where we go and support the things we support and all of that. We don't do that just because we're better than everybody else. No, sir. We do that because we're saved by grace and we're lights and we're witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. It doesn't give me any right to look down my nose at anybody or think I'm better than somebody else. Amen. If it not for the grace of God, I'd be no different. I'd be no different. Amen. Praise God. God didn't save you because you were so good. God saved you because you were bad. You had no rotten, stinking attitude. Amen. You had sin in your life. You needed saving. That's why God saved you. Amen. And we don't need to forget that. And we need to have compassion on other people and understand that they need saving just like we did. They can be what we are. They can be good. They can serve God. They can be holy. They can be separated. But give them a chance. Amen. Don't all happen overnight either. Amen. I got to quit. And I'm going to. But let me just close with this. Not everybody comes to God from the same distance. Some people come from further than others. Some of you came to God and you were not very far away when you came to the Lord. I was one of those. I grew up in this my whole life. I was never very far from the kingdom of God. I got the Holy Ghost when I was young. I was baptized when I was 12. I've been around this my whole life. Brother Martin, I was so close to it my whole life. It was just a few steps into the kingdom of God from where I was. But there's some people that come a long ways to get to Jesus Christ. Some people were right far away. We got to be patient with those folks. They don't have the tradition you have. They don't have the memories you have. They don't have the heritage you have. It takes them a while to get some things together. You got to be patient with those people. Amen. Amen. It'll take them a while to learn there's some things they don't say. They don't mean to be saying bad things. They just don't know. Is that okay? That's really the truth. I'm telling you the truth here tonight. There's some people that they don't even know what they're saying's wrong. Until they shock you, if you look at you going, and they say, what did I do? And you say, well, you know, Christians use that word. And after a while they learn, oh, my bad. Sorry. And then they learn those things. And then they just come along. It's time for them to get to where you are. Be patient. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for letting me go ahead and finish this here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be a Christian, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for helping me to be a Christian. God help me not to be hateful. Amen. I don't ever want to have a hateful attitude. I don't ever want to be unkind. Help me to be merciful to people. Amen. Help me be a good witness to folks. Help me to maintain a right attitude and a right spirit. I don't ever want to get to the place where I'm harsh, mean, judgmental. Amen. I want to be a light. I want to be a witness. Praise the Lord. I want people to feel the love of God when I'm around them. Amen. I want people to feel goodness when I'm around them. And want to be good too. Amen. Did you know the Bible says that it was the goodness of God that brought us to repentance? Let me say that again. I said it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Some people think that God punishes you to repentance. He beats you up until you repent. That's not what the Bible said. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say that some bad things don't happen, but you know what? Most bad things happen. It's not because God's beating us up. It's not God punishing us. Most of the time, it's just bad choices that we've made or wrong circumstances in life. Amen. God doesn't punish you to Him. He shows you goodness until you want to serve Him. Amen. That's what I want in my life. I want the goodness of God and the mercy and the love of God to shine out of our example. Amen. And light the night until people see Jesus Christ and say, you know, I'd like to be like that. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing here tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let me open the altar here tonight for prayer. Amen. Let's be separated. Let's tell the Lord tonight, Jesus, help me to be a winsome witness. Amen. I want to be a good example. My real goal is just to be like Jesus. To act like Him. To talk like Him. Amen. To be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. To be able always to speak truth with love. To be a light even in the dark places. To treat people right even if they don't treat me right. Amen. To have a ready answer always. Amen. The people that want to know what it's all about. To have an anointing upon my life that can break the yoke that's in other people's life. Jesus, help me. I do want to be separated. I want to be godly. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. Amen. In this present world, I won't be able to see Jesus in me. The best of Jesus in me. Amen. The best of Christianity in me. Oh, because I want to bring people to you, Lord. I want to influence others in a godly and a righteous way. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be mean-spirited. Amen. Hallelujah. God, deliver me from pride. Don't let me be haughty. Don't let me be arrogant. Deliver me from that spirit. Let me be humble. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be righteous. Help me to be clean. Help me to be holy. Amen. That's what I want to be tonight, Jesus. I want to be right. I want to be good. Amen. Help me to have a right motive. It's not about showing people.